Well, I just wanted to take a few minutes tonight, not very long, just to think about the topic of heaven this evening. Heaven. You know, it's not something we talk about a whole lot, but it's kind of unfortunate because we should. It's an important topic. You know, all of us, I think it's natural, really, for all of us to grapple with the question at some point in our lives of what happens to us when we die. You know, is there an afterlife? Is there a heaven? And for those of us who are saved, it was perhaps that thought that was nagging in the back of our minds when we accepted Christ as our Savior, as we struggled with the whole idea of heaven and hell and the weight of our sin and the fact that we were guilty before God. And perhaps God used that to prompt us to repent and accept Christ as our Savior. But the fact is that pretty much everybody asks themselves that question at some point in their life. And it turns out that the vast majority of people come to the conclusion that, yes, there is, in fact, life after death. In fact, an ABC News poll a few years ago showed that 89% of Americans believe that there's a heaven. Now, I don't know if you follow polls very much, but 89%, that's a lot of people. I don't know if you could find 89% of the American public who would believe that, you know, that 9/11 wasn't a government conspiracy, or that, you know, we landed on the moon, or name it, you know, right? Something really obvious. And yet 89% of the American public believes in heaven. That's a huge number. It's almost a unanimous opinion, I mean, really. So 89% of the American public believes in heaven. But it goes even further than that. Apparently 85% of the American public believes that they will go to heaven when they die. 85%. Now, how many of you believe that 85% of the American public is going to go to heaven when they die? I don't see any hands. I mean, I've seen some folks out there, and I'm a little skeptical. I don't know. So 85% believes they're going to go to heaven, they're going to go to heaven when they die. It's amazing. What an interesting statistic. But, you know, I think it just points to the fact there's a lot of misconceptions out there about heaven in the popular culture. You know, I think a lot of people form their opinions based on what they see on TV or watch in the movies or through conversations with friends, you know, and they develop these ideas that are really not connected to the Bible at all. And very few people really understand the truth about heaven. They don't understand what the Bible says about heaven or what God has revealed to us about heaven. And no doubt all of us here tonight are pretty familiar with the common concepts about heaven that's, you know, popular in the culture these days. And so let me ask you some questions. I want to ask you some questions, and I want you to answer these questions based on what you think the popular culture would say. What's the prevailing answer to these questions in the popular culture? Not what you believe, not what the Bible says, what you know the Bible says, but what's the popular culture believe? So let's try this. Number one, true or false? Everyone goes to heaven when they die. Does the popular culture say that's true or false? Everyone goes to heaven when they die. How many say true?
True.
How many is false? True. Good. Number two. We're doing good. True or false? Only those whose good deeds outweigh their bad deeds can get to heaven. Does the popular culture say that's true or false? True, right? Excellent. And you really don't know if your deeds are going to outweigh your bad deeds until you get to heaven, right? You get to the pearly gates and somehow they weigh your good deeds over your bad deeds. Number three, this is multiple choice. Number three, which of these things best describes what it will be like for us in heaven? A, we'll be floating on clouds with angel wings. B, we'll be strumming harps. C, we'll be singing songs endlessly, forever and ever and ever. It's kind of like the song that never ends, right? It just goes on and on, my friends. Or D, all of the above. I would say D, right? Yeah. In other words, heaven is boring. It's boring. So bring a magazine. Number four, true or false? Since we're all going to heaven, we better get all of our fun in now because there won't be any fun in heaven. Is that true or false? Do people think that's true or false? True. Yeah. Kind of goes along with the boring thing. And then number five, last one. Where is heaven? Can you point to heaven tonight? Right? It's up there, right? Don't know where, but it's up there somewhere. So it's interesting. These, you know, obviously all this stuff is off base according to the Bible. For example, the first one, everyone goes to heaven when they die. That's not true, right? That's not true at all. And yet, that's what people think. And whenever someone dies, there's usually someone nearby who says something to the effect of, well, they're in a better place now. They're in a better place. And while they mean well, the fact is that for the vast majority of people, they're actually not in a better place. Listen to what Jesus has to say about that. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So he talks about the many and the few. And he says that the many, meaning the vast majority of people, will enter in through a wide gate that leads to destruction, while only very few people will enter in through the narrow gate that leads to life. So I'm not so sure about that 85% of the people who think that they're going to be going to heaven. I think some of them might be wrong. Jesus goes on to say later on in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So the way isn't just narrow. It's actually very exclusive. It's completely exclusive. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the door." He said, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." So Jesus is the door. He's the only door that you can go through to get to heaven. The Bible tells us very clearly that all of us really are disqualified for heaven. And the thing that disqualifies us for heaven is sin. And it's only by the death of Christ that any of us can become qualified to go to heaven. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin. And if we place our trust in him, our sins can be forgiven and we can live in heaven forever. So only those who trust Christ for the forgiveness of their sins will enter into heaven when they die. So that means for mankind in general, heaven is not the default destination. It's actually hell is the default destination. A lot of people think that if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you can go to heaven, and that's just not true either. The truth is that no one is good enough. We're all born in iniquity. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So no one is good enough, not even from the very start, not even as a little baby. We're born into this world in sin. And there's no amount of good deeds that we can ever do that will outweigh our bad deeds. There's nothing we can do to do good to find our way to heaven. James 2:10 says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all." So it doesn't matter how many good deeds you do, just one bad deed is enough to disqualify you. The standard to get to heaven is perfection, and none of us are perfect. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So forget about the whole idea of our good deeds outweighing our bad deeds. It just doesn't work like that. But then there's the whole question about heaven being boring. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that this world that we live in now is boring? I don't. So why would we think that the next world, which is better than this world, is going to somehow become boring? It makes no sense. Our God delights in beauty and diversity, and most people have this mental picture of heaven as being this ethereal place where we float around in clouds, and it's just kind of like gray and misty, and that's not beautiful or diverse, is it? That's not like God. In Luke chapter 23, as Jesus hung on the cross between the two thieves, if you recall, one of them turned to Christ and believed in him by faith as his Savior. And when he did that, Jesus turned to him and said this. He said, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's interesting that he chose that word paradise. It's the Greek word paradisos, which means a park. And so it sort of conjures up the picture, a mental picture of a park, kind of like the Garden of Eden, maybe. Paradisos is taken from the Hebrew word pardes, which again means a park or forest or orchard. And Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradisos, not in nephel," which would have been the Greek word for clouds. He said, "You're going to be with me in a park-like place. You're not going to be with me in clouds," right? So instead, he wanted us to have that mental picture of a park, not mental picture of floating on clouds. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So whatever we're doing in heaven, it's going to be filled with joy and pleasure. In heaven, we're going to rest from our labors, according to Revelation 14, but we shouldn't mistake that to mean that there's going to be no activity in heaven whatsoever. There will be. There'll be lots of activity in heaven. There's even going to be some work to do. But the difference between work on earth and work in heaven is that work in heaven is going to be refreshing. It's going to be free from the curse. If you remember in the Garden of Eden, God cursed the ground because of Adam's sin. He said to Adam in Genesis 3:17, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." And the curse made work very, very difficult. But that wasn't God's plan from the beginning. Work only became difficult and heavy and laborious because of sin. In heaven, sin is done away with, and the curse is done away with. The curse is gone. So no longer are we laboring by the sweat of our face. We serve God in heaven. We'll be fulfilling responsibilities, carrying out duties, expending effort, and we'll have all the energy and creativity to be able to carry it all out. And our work will produce lasting results. It won't be hindered by decay and fatigue. We'll eat and drink and celebrate at Christ's table. We'll be surrounded with people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. And we'll praise and we'll celebrate God for all of His greatness, His wisdom, His power, above all, His amazing work of redemption. Heaven's going to be dynamic and adventurous. It's going to be exciting. It's not going to be boring. There'll always be something new to learn in heaven because God is infinite. And so we shouldn't think for a moment that heaven will be limited in some way. There will always be something new, some new discoveries and new experiences in heaven. The Bible also says that we will reign with Christ in heaven. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly what that means, that we will reign with Christ in heaven. But the Bible is very clear about it. We will. It talks about us having some measure of authority in judging the world and in judging angels. You find Jesus talking about it in the parables. You find Paul referring to it in 1 Corinthians. He says in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Do you not know that we shall judge angels?" 2 Timothy talks about it. And the book of Revelation repeats it several times. It says in Revelation 2:26, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." In Revelation 3:21, it says, "To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne." In Revelation 5, verse 9, it says, "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Isn't that interesting? We'll reign with Christ on the earth. So somehow we're going to rule with him. So heaven is not going to be boring. It's going to be anything but boring. And heaven is a real place. It's not some ethereal, dreamlike world. It's a real place. When people ask, when you ask people where is heaven, right, they point up. They look to the sky and say, heaven's up there somewhere, right? In fact, it's funny, when Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first man in space, the Soviet government, which is very atheistic, obviously, They famously quoted Gagarin as saying, "I went up to space, but I didn't see God. God's not up there," as if that proved that God didn't exist, right? But it's just kind of silly to think that you could go into space and you could either see God or see heaven up there physically in space. Heaven is not in our three-dimensional world. And one of the things we need to understand about heaven is the fact that the Bible presents heaven in two phases. Did you know that? The Bible presents heaven in two phases. There's the heaven as it exists today, then there's the heaven as it will be in the future. Today, when a Christian dies, they go to heaven. But the heaven they go to is not the same heaven that we'll live in for all of eternity in the future. It's a different heaven. Today, heaven is an intermediate place, and I'm not talking about purgatory. There's nothing in the Bible to suggest in any way that there's such a thing as purgatory. But today, heaven is an intermediate place. In heaven as it exists today, we'll wait for the time when Christ will return to the earth. And when he does, we will be raised in a bodily resurrection and given glorified bodies, and God will execute the final judgment on the earth. And then God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And that new heaven and new earth will be our ultimate place where we will spend eternity. That's the ultimate form that heaven will take in the future. Unfortunately, in our casualness and our thinking and talking about heaven, we usually just say heaven. And we kind of lump both of those things together as if it were the same thing, when in fact it really isn't the same thing. They're two different phases or two different places for heaven. And it's important for us to understand that in order to have a real, true biblical understanding of heaven. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And today when we die, we go to be with the Lord in his current dwelling place in heaven. But at some point in the future, God's dwelling place is going to come down to earth, and it's going to be with men. Because the earth, you see, is going to go through a dramatic transformation. It's going to be radically transformed. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter. If you have your Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 10 talks about this, how the earth is going to be radically transformed. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." So the earth is going to be burned up, which, by the way, is the only real form of global warming that you need to be concerned about, just as an aside. And a new earth is going to be created in its place. This earth is going to be burned up, and a new earth is going to be created. And there's going to be no more sin in the new earth. It's not that all of us suddenly start controlling ourselves. It's that there won't even be any capacity for sin to exist in the new earth. It's going to be a completely different situation. And everything is going to be made new. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. I told you this is going to be a short message tonight. We're getting ready to wrap it up here. Revelation 21 and verse 1. The Bible says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." So God's going to transform the world in such a way that it's going to be completely perfect. So perfect, in fact, that he's going to be able to come down out of heaven and become part of the new earth. It says the holy city, New Jerusalem, is going to come down out from God out of heaven and become part of the new earth. The earth is no longer going to be under the curse of sin. It will be redeemed, and you could say even resurrected in a way. It says the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And so it's literally going to be heaven on earth with the new heaven and the new earth. So the ultimate form of heaven in the new earth will be much more physical, you might say, probably than what we currently imagine. Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus described heaven as a physical place with physical dwellings. And frankly, that was his original plan in the beginning. He created Adam and Eve, and he put them to dwell on a physical earth, in a perfect earth with a perfect environment. But it was their sin that shattered that perfect environment. And because of their sin, death came into the world, and the earth became corrupted and distorted. And so today we live in a world that is not the way that God intended it to be. But one day it will be, and our physical world will be redeemed. Romans 8:21 says, "The creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." The whole creation is groaning until that day when a new heaven and new earth is going to be created in its place. One day we'll dwell in a resurrected world, inhabited by resurrected people, living with the resurrected Christ, and death is no longer going to be any part of that. Here's another statistic for you. The current death rate for mankind is 100%. We're all going to die. Worldwide, 3 people die every second, 180 every minute, 11,000 every hour. Life goes by so quickly, doesn't it? I mean, young people, you don't understand this yet, but life goes by really fast. The Bible says that our life is but a vapor. David said in Psalm 39, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee." This life passes by so quickly, and the older I get, the more I appreciate that fact. But the good news is that Jesus has won the victory over death, right? The Bible says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" But in order to share that victory with Christ, you have to have a relationship with Christ. We need to understand that he died to pay the penalty for our sin, and we have to trust in that fact. And if we do, our sins can be forgiven, and we can have a home in heaven for all of eternity. Heaven's going to be an amazing place. I mean, just think about this world. And imagine what this world would be like if there was no sin, no death, no suffering, no corruption, no pain. Just in this world that we live in. Think of it, if all those things were taken away, what an amazing place this would be. And yet there's an even greater place coming where all these things are going to be true. So it's amazing. It's going to be much more than just this world. It's going to be a brand new world that God is going to create. Well, that's all I had for tonight, just some thoughts about heaven, and hope it's an encouragement to you. It's something worth thinking about. We're going to spend all of eternity in heaven. If you're going to take a trip and you're going to go spend a few weeks in a place that you'd never been before, wouldn't you want to know a little bit about that place? Wouldn't you want to research it a little bit? I think you should maybe get into the Bible and research a little bit about heaven. It's the place that we're going to spend all of eternity in.